everyone, happy Easter. Welcome to the Anytime Notebook. My name's Gavin. We are here every single week to mark your goal scorer card across the EFL. Joining me to pick the bones, well, the bare bones out of Good Friday that just was. Look ahead to a Easter Monday coupon that looks fantastic, as always, John Bywater. John, good morning. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you, Gav. You had some communication from Tim Brooke Taylor's fan club that they were very annoyed that we didn't mention him in the famous Taylor talk on the Friday's pod.
That was a that was a goodie. Well done, John.
Excellent. Oh, that was almost my proper setup.
That was, not like me. Must be on form on an Easter Sunday morning. Nothing of note on Good Friday. Long-range effort from Taylor Allen for me, the aforementioned Taylor. Nothing at all from Bristol Rovers. I saw quotes as low as zero and quotes as high as 0.05 for a cumulative Bristol Rovers XG at Port Vale.
They're on the beach, Gav. They're on the beach.
They are definitely on the beach. Stay tuned later on for some more anti-Bristol Rovers content. Nothing for Jordan Story, although Preston were way too good for Rotherham. Yeah, Bristol Rovers and Rotherham. We should start adding to our teams that we know are already on the beach. John, anything for you?
Yeah, there's a few things. I thought, well, I can't even remember my selections. They didn't really register. We'll breeze over that, Gav.
Brandon Cooper, Jake Cooper and Rory Feely. I don't think there was anything for those either.
Barrow scored a few goals. We'll accept that. Thanks for that great tipping there.
Whilst I'm on it, the only reason I knew that is because I've got the P&L in front of me. I know regular listeners will be interested in the P&L. What are we? March the 31st as we record. Bets 173. Seems a lot, but you know what we're like. There's a good chunk of that coming today as well. Stake 170.5 points for a profit of all of that stake is 34.5 points, which takes us to a ROI, return on investment, of around just over 20%, which is not bad going.
Either. Better than the bank.
Even we can't mess that up with six or seven games to go, can we, John? Surely we can.
We can get close to break even from it.
Yeah, judging on the amount of selections I've got, I'm all over the place today. The amount of selections
you've gone exotic on us. I've gone a bit mad with some of mine, I think. But I thought I'll mention a couple of games in the Championship. I thought I missed that Greaves was suspended for Hull for the home defeat to Stoke. Hull's home record are late, pretty poor. They go away to Leeds on Monday night, and I did see that Alfie Jones, my fairly recent selection, was quite active without Greaves in the side. Greaves misses Monday night as well, but Leeds away is probably not the right spot, so I moved over that one. How bad are Rotherham, Gav? How bad are they?
Terrible. Terrible. Yeah.
Answer, very
don't
bad.
Don't look like a mid-table League One side.
They've now got, also to add to the woes, Morrison, Kyoso and Blackett are all injured after the weekend as well. So I don't know who they're going to play at the back. Not that it would make a lot of difference. So Millwall visit on Monday, and Jake Cooper is 5-1.
Wow!
Don't worry, listeners, he's not going for the hat trick there, but that'll probably be the time. But yeah, Millwall odds on away. Not for me, but you can't argue with it after seeing Rotherham of late. They've given up the ghost. Mm-hmm. Got another one here. Championship. Watch the. Didn't watch all of it, but watched quite a lot of the Blackburn-Ipswich game. As usual, Ipswich looked absolutely average to me, but won. There you go. We said that before, Gav, haven't we? I thought, as he nearly always does, Scott Walton looked very threatening for Blackburn. They go to Sunderland on Monday. 14s wasn't quite big enough for me, really, because Blackburn aren't really scoring any goals, so we move over that one as well. It's quite an interesting championship, I thought.
I had one for Blackburn, Benjamin Crisani. I'm going to have a guess at how that's...
Yes, I saw that.
Far too early to make any judgments on his career, but he looks like a left-back by trade, certainly where he played when he was at Kilmarnock on loan and the early stages of his Blackburn loan as well. Is it, I can't remember, it might be Villa that he's on loan from, can't quite remember. But started, left attacking 4-1 in that defeat to Ipswich. Nothing of note, no chances, but certainly one to note if you're looking for players that might be starting in different positions. And, I thought Milan Van Erwijk, so a Coventry opinion from me, which is rare. I thought it was interesting his last two starts. Has been out the side for a fair bit. I think since he's been here, he's struggled a little bit with injuries and fitness, but he's certainly been interested in the last two starts. The angle here is when Batabodier plays on the right-hand side of the back three, certainly gives Van Erwijk more licence to get forward. He's got 5 touches in the box at Wolves, where he had 2 good chances, another 3 at Huddersfield as well. It's in a few formations on who scored and why scout, and it suggests that Casey Palmer operates off the right with Sims through the middle and Haji Wright on the left, but Palmer really doesn't operate on the right. That right flank these days, when Cover playing 5 at the back, is really just Van Erwijk's up and down, and it's his to exploit. I fancy him to cause Wilson, we're at home to Cardiff on Monday. I fancy him to cause Wilson Esbrand, who we had on loan from Man City beginning of last season. I fancy him to cause him all sorts of problems. 13-2 was all right for a player that has scored, does get forward, but it certainly looks like he's been given more license to get forward. Stay tuned later on for where we fit Milan Van Erwijk in a Trixie later on for those at a price. But John, I think you've got a selection in the championship.
Yeah, some nice fresh content from you there, Gav. different take on the Erwijk joke.
Fresh Erwijk.
Didn't want to go with Erwijk again. West Brom versus Watford. Let's continue to oppose West Brom after Friday for no obvious reason. Now, maybe I'm getting suckered in. It's classic Watford, new manager, and they do seem to be a side that does benefit from the new manager, maybe because it happens every 4 weeks. That's one for the obvious. I don't like those obvious statements, but Matty Pollock really caught the eye versus Leeds. Looked very strong in the air, had a couple of decent efforts. Enough goals, really, at Grimsby, Cheltenham and even Aberdeen to think he can notch a couple for this revitalised.
We like Matty Pollock, we do, on this podcast. Yeah, we do.
We haven't mentioned him for a while, but we do like him because...
We don't like them when they wander off north of the border and then we forget about them, do we?
And then they come back to the championship and don't play a lot and then sucker you in with a chance.
Anyone would think playing north of the border is the equivalent to League Two.
we're not interested in that stuff, I'm afraid. Getting his best run in the team of late. Kipre went off injured for West Brom as well, which doesn't hurt. Nothing fishy about this one, Gav. one for you Easter fans out there. And a big drift since I typed these notes, which is rare. So I typed down for 18-1 and I was a bit borderline, but there's now 25-1. So wow. Matty Pollock at 25-1 for Watford at West Brom.
Big fan of that one. More notes in the championship than we normally have. It looks a competitive round of fixtures, as it does always. Let's head down into the highlight of
it's unbelievable.
John Mellish, who 5 previous braces, finally gets another for his what I think is his first senior hat trick. Did start centre midfield, John, for the first time in ages. So yeah. I don't think we could have picked that out. But the clues were there.
It wouldn't have mattered though, would it? Away to Peterborough, he still wouldn't have picked it out.
Exactly.
And they're all from set players, weren't they?
Two of them were. 20-1 was the guess at MGM. Yeah. No, we won't put it up, but there's some filthy goal scorer prices on BetMGM this week. I don't think we're putting any of them up on this podcast, but good luck. Good luck. One of those, it includes Boson Lawal as well, who was, I think it was both on both our notes. He was prolific in volume instead of quality, but I think he'll probably still be, this is Boson Lawal, midfielder for Fleetwood. I still think he'd be probably the best player on the park at the Kassam when he go to Oxford. 15-1 he is at BetMGM, and if you pop those two together, they're probably four times as good as the next best price double in the market at BetMGM. But yeah, good luck.
Get on there. Our notes are almost identical on Lawal. That's a bit. That doesn't really happen.
They were all a bit like from far out, weren't they? But
Do you reckon that is the, for someone who's had shots from outside the box, they were literally all in the same place? I've never seen that before. It would have been good for people who do fancy graphs on Twitter. just basically a spot, the same spot, and it was the same shot over and over. But yeah, he. Also, you've got, I mean, Fleetwood is probably down now, but they're going to have to, if anything, he's going to be even further forward. I don't really, because that time he scored the brace was the only time he got inside the box.
Yeah.
And you sort of think, why don't they let him, I almost feel like you could push him even further forward, but maybe, I don't know.
I don't mind it. Someone who's taking that many shots from distance strikes you as just a player who knows he's probably looking forwards and going, well, I've got as good a chance as any as Stockley or Mayer or whoever.
But shots outside the box are not the value they used to be, Gav. You can't do that anymore. No. That's why you don't see any screamers anymore, Gav. The game's gone.
of all the games gone comments, not seeing screamers.
Shoot. That's what you sing every time.
It's because, it's our own fault, isn't it? They're all looking at, it's only 0.5 XG from there, I'm afraid. So, should get it in the box a bit more.
Yeah, it's our own fault, you're right.
Our own fault for, talking about XG, I tell you, we came up on the notebook, your mate Aidan Keener.
I've been going on about him for a while, Gav. It's got to be said. And it was good to see him score his first goal in 362 days. Exeter.
Good training performance. Excellent. Well done to the track.
Yeah, it goes well fresh, even though he's been playing. Exeter, pretty much safe. So that isn't the worst home game for Cheltenham on Monday. Needed that victory at Fleetwood, keeps them right in the mix for staying up. Now, as you say, Keener finally scored a goal. His performances the last 2 months, as I've said, have been back to last season levels. And I have said a few times, when he gets one, I think he'll go on a run. So I'm going to put up here Aidan Keener 2+ at 20-1, a rare 2+ selection. Just a bit of a feel one, really, and I think he's got the potential. We saw it last season with his record that he can score plenty at this level. I thought another Cheltenham note, James Odiyinka. He was on the bench for the first time under Darryl Clark. He transfer listed him almost as soon as he arrived. There was some sort of off the field thing, and he didn't like his attitude and all this. Last season, I look back at some ratings and things. On a couple of them, he was like first or second most effective player. So I think he's a name to keep an eye on. Obviously, there's been some sort of issue there, but Clark said he told him a few home truths a few weeks ago, and since then he's been happy with his attitude. So if he sees any minutes, that's a name to keep half an eye on. But the selection is Aidan Keener, 2+ at 20-1.
We've got all bases covered. Singles, 2+, Trixies this week. I've got a couple of singles for names that everyone will know of in League One. I thought it's worth following up against that Bristol Rovers side. They haven't scored in four now. I don't think they're on the beach, but the form isn't working out that well either. The point at Fleetwood hasn't worked out. Even Derby going there and winning 3-0. Derby are, far from, they're second in the division, but far from penalty kicks on the road. I think they've probably lost more games than most of that top six on the road. Lost at Port Vale. Two good chances for Lavacotti, another for Nathan Smith from set pieces in that defeat. the home side there, so Vale had 2.5 expected goals, 1.1 of which came from set pieces. If we go back through the list, Paddy O'Connor with a header from a corner in that 5-0 demolition by Lincoln the week before. Derby had 1.72 XG from set pieces, Bradley and Cashin going close in that 3-0 defeat at Highbury. Like we said, Rovers are on the beach. They face Shrewsbury this weekend, who still need to keep their heads. They're only 6 points clear of the bottom four, so every incentive for them to go and make survival clear. Step up, no surprises, notebook favourite Che Dunkley. 3 good headers from corners against Oxford in the 1-1 draw on Good Friday. That looks like a nice little pipe opener for me for their visit to the Mem. 11-1 general. Like I said, there's some filthy 16-1 at BetMGM. There is a filthy Trixie somewhere there on some high price goal scorers. But general price, 11-1 general for Che Dunkley for Shrewsbury. And I'll just add to that, John Guthrie, who was leading the charge as Northampton chased that game against Reading on Friday. His March record reads 2 goals, 5 shots, goal and a bit XG. I thought 12-1 against Vale for Northampton side that are in fairly good form. Che Dunkley a point at 11-1 and John Guthrie a point at 12-1. Look like standard fare in League One. John, anything?
Couple of legends there, Gav.
Absolutely. Notebook alumni getting a run out on Easter Monday. Anything else for you, League One, John?
Couple of others, yeah, not selections, but player I've been trying to get with all season, Will Forrester, hit the bar for Bolton. Pretty much Bolton's only effort against Stevenage. Boy, Stevenage are hard to play against most of the time. Don't give up anything. As ever, the issue is he probably won't start again on Monday. This is Forrester. He didn't start the game before, so I presume he just started because of rotation. Yeah. Home to Reading, and at 12-1, I'm not kicking myself if he scores anyway. Not the worst price, but I'm not too worried about it. Another probably worth a mention. We all saw that very obvious 2-0 win for Cambridge against Barnsley, didn't we? We saw that coming. Ryan Bennett had a perfectly good goal disallowed from a corner there that didn't register on the old XG.
Oh, okay.
Very much heading into the veteran stage now, Gav. This make you feel old. His numbers are padded from the 08-09 season. 6 goals for Grimsby. And the 10-11 season, 5 goals for Peterborough. God, we're old.
Wow. That does make you feel old.
You take away those 2 seasons, which, he's basically barely scored since. So, but, yeah, it's worth a brief mention, but I don't know where that performance came from. And looking at the metrics for that game, it looks more of a one-off than anything, but partly that could be because Barnsley were obviously chasing it late on, but strange result. It's getting that sort of time of the season. Strange results are possible.
Good spot. Should we finish off then in League Two? John, yeah, you've got in your notes. Chris Stokes was the one, wasn't he? Yeah, you've...
bowled me a googly, that? Didn't he?
He did. He's... But not. We talked a bit about Morecambe as well. It was difficult to find an angle against Accrington. It should have been easy, really. We know should have got against Accrington.
If I'd actually read my notes for about the last 2 months, where I've mentioned him 3 times. Absolutely. Yeah, that annoyed me. The first 2 sides in League Two that you really want to get against, obvious at the moment, Notts County and Accrington. Accrington go to Mansfield. I know you looked at that game as well. You got someone else to mention in a minute, but I thought Bailey Cargill might be a price. I don't know why, but there is 8s out there, but he's a general 9-2, which is interesting. I didn't think you'd see the day where Flint is a bigger price than Cargill with most firms, but
13-2.
Even that is obviously very much leaveable. But yeah, I think Mansfield generally this season as well have responded very well after a defeat. Yeah. So that just looks an obvious battering, but obviously it's all in the price. Notts County home to MK Dons, who will, at the time I did these notes, which was over a day ago, they'll start nearer to evens than 6-4. I don't know if I'm right there. Let's have a look while we're talking.
Still best price 6-4.
Oh, good shout by me there. Cheers, fat guy. You could have just made that up, Gav. I'll still say they'll be nearer evens by kickoff. There you go.
Not to watch for.
Yeah, that's coming in a bit. There's Boyle Sports know 5-4. They know. but it's difficult to find your man Tomlinson scored, didn't he, on Friday?
He did, I didn't see the price, but
yeah. But it's hard to make massive case for any of the defenders there. Who have you got? You got someone in the Mansfield game, haven't you?
I thought Mansfield Accrington. I assume there wouldn't be anything of note, but yeah, you're right. Flint 13-2. There is some Ains Cargill around, but I thought both of those prices made the 13-2 Aaron Lewis from midfield look not too bad. Saw out the 90 in the Wrexham defeat. Scored in the reverse fixture. Like I said, what was he?
Was
a win back for Newport, wasn't he? But yeah, playing from midfield. Productivity looks fairly good during the last few weeks. Scored goals against Accrington in his time at Newport as well. I didn't think for a midfielder in that Mansfield side, like you said, that do respond well. And he's had a fair few chances to his name over the last few weeks. I didn't think Aaron Lewis at 13-2 was too bad. If you're continuing to take notes, there's a couple that I put up there. Milan Van Erwijk, Aaron Lewis. I've got one more to add to the list for a nice little tricksy. We're not too far away from that now at the end of the pod, so I'll pop that together as well.
You keep teasing that Trixie, don't you?
I do, yeah. I like it when
keep listening.
There's a couple around, and but certainly when there's they're all best priced somewhere. I don't think Aaron Lewis is a little bit short of a Sky Bet, but it's a Sky Bet Trixie, and I'll put that up. I'll put that up in a second. In fact, no, let's go for it. It's not on the. In order in my list of notes. I thought the prices were all over the place, John, for Sutton against Swindon. There's like, what did I see? Sawumney 5-1? Something like that. And Goodliffe was single figures as well. I thought Williams Kokolo for Swindon. We give him a mention on Friday for having a bit of a productive month, but I warned against him at the 12s because he didn't start last time out, but he did in fact start and see out the 90 in the 2-1 win against Notts County. And yeah, just surprised that he goes off 16-1 here against a certain side that are, you know, looking like they've got every chance of escaping the drop. But it should open them up a little bit more, and Swindon probably secured their place in League Two with that win at Notts County on Friday. Quick reminder then for Williams Kokolo. He's had a bit of a not as many starts for someone who's 23, but left wing back, was at Burton and Middlesbrough before that, got into a little bit of trouble, which you won't go into, but Swindon give him a lifeline. Barely 50 appearances for a 23-year-old, probably not a lot in this day and age. Good run of chances, high touches in the box, which is a good metric for those that follow that kind of thing. I think, racked with uncertainty about team news, I didn't look too closely about why he didn't start the game, the penultimate, the last but one game ago. But I thought 16-1 looked a good price for an attacking wing-back who turns up in the box against a side that, yeah, is playing well, but is still second bottom in League Two for a side that should be safe. Williams Kokolo, 1 point for Swindon, at 16-1 for me. We'll consolidate all of these at the end of the pod. I know there's been a lot for people to keep up with. I can imagine people frantically scribbling down names and prices in their notebook.
Names everywhere.
Yeah, John, you got one more, I think, in League Two, and a couple of other thoughts.
Yeah, thoughts first. I thought Morecambe versus Barrow, interesting with Cole the goal, Stockton, course, yeah. Going back to Morecambe. Yeah. Really finding his feet at Barrow now, isn't he?
He is.
Without doubt, better than League Two when right up here. And he certainly seems right at the moment. As I said on Friday, Pete Wilde said they're going to keep going, and they showed that against Grimsby. They got a specific points target. And somebody actually messaged me and said that there's some kind of bonus thing per points or something. I don't know how that works, but okay. It may be paid out, you know, over a certain points level, I think. So that's fairly interesting as well, because money is a great motivator, Gav.
It certainly is.
That's why we do this podcast, everyone. I mean, there's a lot of needle between Stockton and Morecambe, despite the long spell there. I always see their fans slagging him off on Twitter. Plenty of extra motivation in play here. I wanted to look at the 2+ angle again, but 16s, I wanted 20s minimum, really, even though I think this could be quite a high goal line. So I reluctantly leave Cole the goal alone. Newport versus Crawley should be a good game. Both sides need to keep winning, especially Newport, who almost heading towards a must-win stage for any playoff dreams to remain, I would say. They got a very tough run in as well, Newport. But you know where I'm going with Crawley. Lawrence Maguire or Joy McKenna. Both had another two efforts each in the defeat at home to Doncaster. Maguire is 12's best and McKenna is 25's best. Not as simple as I'd have them closer than that, but I'll be honest, I don't mind the 12's Maguire. I think it's 11's now anyway. But McKenna, who I've mentioned a few times, just starting to show signs that he could be a threat. He's the selection at 25-1 in what I think could be a high-scoring encounter. So Joy McKenna at 25-1 for Crawley against Newport.
So Crawley will be living Joy.
There's a lot of Easter links. I didn't even realise on those.
Well, last one for me then. Let's finish off this long-awaited, short price Trixie with there's Colchester. Turn one point. They're the ones who are certain of chasing, I guess. But they turned 1 point into 3 for a change over the last few weeks. I think that could be a catalyst against a Tranmere side who lost 2 on the bounce. They got to be careful, haven't they, Tranmere, not letting the season drag out in poor form. I thought Colchester threats Harry Anderson has probably been the catalyst of his own since returning early February. Had a long layoff through injury, but in his last 7 games, scored 2 in 7, former Bristol Rovers, as we know, 14 shots in that period, XG that ties in nicely with his goal ratio as well, so just under 2. Good player, as we know, Colchester side that should continue to attack against Tranmere. Side that we could possibly get against over the next couple of weeks as we head towards the end of the season. 13-2 there was an easy way to get involved. So here's a 0.25 point Trixie for you. I thought Harry Anderson at 13-2, Milan Van Erwijk at 13-2, Aaron Lewis, he's 13-2 at Bet365, but what second best price in at Skybet? So all, pop those all in at 5-1 at Skybet. He is. Pop those all in a quarter point Trixie. The treble pace 335-1, which are 3 players that I like in a bet that I like. I guess instead of putting up a point on each, but you know what I like. I've said their names. However you want to play that one, but for P&L purposes, quarter point Trixie for me, which takes me up to another point, which is 4 points for me today, John. Which is
for once you've staked more than me. It's what's going on?
Feels like extremely reckless. We've got money
steady on.
Money to play with, profits to eat into before the end of the season is out. John, rattle through your selections for us. Remind you of who you're going to put up this week.
Yeah, feels like it's been a good pod this, Gav. Don't like to blow our own trumpet, but there you go. In the Championship, West Brom versus Watford, Matty Pollock at 25-1. League One, Cheltenham versus Exeter, Aidan Keener, 20-1, 2+ goals, or 2 or more goals, however your site phrases it. And in League Two, Newport versus Crawley, Joy McKenna, 25-1.
It's a nice little Keener, or Joy, if it's Joy McKenna, if we've been saying it wrong, it's a nice little Keener suffix there. Keener as mustard. Yeah. There you go. That's
big, good episode for fans of Keenan and Kel from the Nickelodeon heyday, I like to call it.
There we go. Indeed. Let's go through.
That was
mine.
A big price being mentioned, wasn't it? Keenan and Kel.
on the same podcast as Ryan Bennett's been mentioned, we're going right back to 2008. League One, a point at 11-1 for Che Dunkley, a point at 12-1 for John Guthrie. League Two, Swindon, Williams Kokolo. Swindon head to Sutton, a point at 16-1. And this a legend in the making, quarter point Trixie, Harry Anderson, Milan Van Erwick, and Aaron Lewis for Mansfield as they head or as they play Accrington. 7 points there, all the bets covered, all the selections. John, an absolute pleasure on an Easter Sunday. Great few days of action to look forward to. It's been exciting. I think you've got some. We've got games on the telly and games to see in person on Easter Monday, and then Premier League games throughout the week, which is good. Yeah, we get our fill of football. John, been a great episode. Well, how would you rate it out of 10 if you were leaving a review on Spotify? What would you say?
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. I'll take that. That's good for us.
Yeah. Self-praised in this. We both said it's been a great episode. Are we slightly biased? We do say quite often it's not the best episode to ourselves. So.
I think people say the best episodes is where you two just let your thoughts flow out. There's no filter. There's 400 selections. Right. You've mentioned every single person. And you know, I think they're the episodes.
Tim Brooke Taylor, Keenan and Kel. All the demographics are hit with this episode.
People have a nice warm, fuzzy feeling inside, feeling more nostalgic. And as they head off into eating their Easter eggs, if that's your kind of thing on an Easter Sunday, enjoy if you can. Don't forget to leave some space to fill up your guts on EFL goal scorers on Easter Monday. There's me ending the pod with a certain degree of enthusiasm. John, I'm away next week doing the holiday thing for half term, so we'll sort something out. I'm sure you'll have some opinions and I might have some opinions.
I will not be recording on my own because that is painful. So as I'm regularly reminded by beautiful DMs I get the two times I've done that, it was good, but where's Gav?
If you did want to hear John record a podcast on his own, don't forget to let him know on all social media sites. Bully him into doing it. I might have some opinions as well from the middle of Euro Disney on Friday afternoon. But I don't know whether those footballers.
That's good. That will be that.
Opinions, but they could be opinions.
That'll be how you get that MGM account closed. Logging in from Euro Disney.
Is this VPN coming from? Excellent. we'll see how that plays out.
Nothing Mickey Mouse about this episode.
Absolutely. On that bombshell, John, great to talk to you on a Sunday morning. Whatever you're backing this week, be lucky, be extra lucky. Fill your boots, and let's hope we've got some winners to talk about. Come next week, John. Good to talk to you. I'll see you again soon.
Thanks, everyone. Good luck.